WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Israel and Gaza. Joy after news that Hamas and Israel have agreed to phase one of a ceasefire. In East Jerusalem, CBS's Deborah Pata.
Well, the Israeli government has now approved that deal, which means a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas will come into effect within the next 24 hours. Then the remaining 48 hostages, living and dead, can be exchanged for 250 Palestinian prisoners serving life sentences and 1,700 more who've been arrested since October 2023.
Israeli Prime Minister's office says the cabinet has agreed to a framework to release all hostages. A U.S. official tells CBS News the U.S. is sending 200 troops to Israel to help support and monitor the Gaza ceasefire deal. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
U.S. Central Command says a civil-military coordination center will be set up in Israel. It will be part of the operation that will help coordinate the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza. It will also facilitate logistical and security measures needed to help end the war and rebuild the war-torn region.
A federal grand jury in Northern Virginia has indicted New York Attorney General Letitia James after a mortgage fraud investigation. She's charged with bank fraud and making false statements to a financial institution. James responds in an online video.
This is the time for leaders on both sides of the aisle to speak out against this blatant perversion of our system of justice.
Democratic U.S. Senator Adam Schiff.
Those of us on the president's enemies list, and it is a long and growing list, will not be intimidated. We will not be deterred. We will do our jobs. We will stand up to this president.
The indictment against James comes after federal charges filed against ex-FBI Director James Comey. A judge blocks National Guard deployment in Illinois for 2 weeks.
Illinois Attorney General Kwame Ryle said it was an important decision as to whether or not the president
could and should federalize and deploy the National Guard into our great city and our great state.
The judge ruled there is no credible evidence of an organized rebellion there, nor was there any evidence the federal government has been unable to enforce the law without bringing in troops. Ryle said this wasn't just important for Illinois,
but for the entire country.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says they're not leaving Chicago.
We're purchasing more buildings in Chicago to operate out of. We're going to not back off. In fact, we're doubling down and we're going to be in more parts of Chicago in response to the people there.
Noem is looking to do the same in Portland, Oregon. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Concern about injured Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Matt LaFleur was asked why the team's place kicker, Brandon McManus, has been added to the injury list.
Brandon McManus listed on the injury report. I'm assuming it's from those tackles that he had to make in the game.
It is not from the tackles, no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
I asked McManus what happened to him and the injury to his kicking leg.
I was kicking, warming up. I had kickoffs earlier in the day, and then I was warming up for field goals. I kind of felt a tug against my quad. I gave it a couple minutes, tried again. Yeah, I just shut it down for the day. Yeah, I didn't want to make it worse.
Baseball, Brewers against the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. If Milwaukee wins, they advance to the National League Championship next week. If they lose, it's Game 5 in Milwaukee this coming Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. It's called show business for a reason, and oftentimes the business part is what drives creative or really talented people away, such is the case with actor Chauncey Leopardi, best known for his role as Squints in The Sandlot. The actor recently sat down with People.com and said that as an actor, it was the constant auditions and the grind that made him step back from the biz. These days, Leopardi is busy raising his 5 children and running a cannabis business, saying it was a pretty smooth transition as he always had a life outside Hollywood. He also added that he really enjoyed his life life as an actor. His credits also include Freaks and Geeks and Father of the Bride. Here's another really cool thing that came out of the interview. Squints says he still keeps in touch with Smalls, Benny the Jet, and Ham. He says they have multiple group chats and not only text quite often, but actually see each other at sports signings and events. Great story. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, increasing clouds and lows in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, some clouds and showers in the morning, then maybe a little sun in the afternoon. A touch breezy with highs in the mid-60s. And highs stay in the mid-60s for the weekend, but mostly sunny. It's 55 right now.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers across the country dealing with the Trump tariffs. We talked to a farmer from southwestern Missouri. Will Westmoreland will join us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540
You're
WAUK.
Listening to pre-recorded content.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, Hidney Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Wow, we're really excited to have our friend Shelley Buck return on the show, and Dana Thompson's on here. Wow, I'm very honored to have you both on the show, and great to see you. And we're going to talk a little bit about your organization. But I just want to say before we get into it, I'm going to try it now here because, you know, I'm Ho-Chunk and we have the sacred voice. But Owami Mini Yomini. Is that a yes?
Owami Yomini.
Hey, I was close. I want to talk about your we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening. But, you know, I've been looking at your videos that have been posting and really exciting. And Shelley, take it away. And Dana, thank you. I feel really honored to have you on the show tonight.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely. Shelley, you're the president. And let's talk a little bit about your organization to remind people out there what your organization is and what's it doing. And then we'll bring Dana in here. Boy, we could talk about a lot of things with Dana. I think last time I saw you in person, I did not know this. You're a musician too. And I saw you up at Winona LaDuke's birthday party jamming on the stage with a whole bunch of people. And I'm like, what can't this person do? Oh, wow.
That was a wild day. Yeah, we'll talk about that next time for sure. Yeah. Now you have to have me back on.
Yeah, definitely. But Shelley, let's talk about what you guys want to talk about. We want to amplify the great work that you guys are doing. And again, really blown away by the quality and the great information coming from your videos, too.
Yeah, definitely. We are a Dakota-led nonprofit in Minneapolis working to restore 5.2 acres in the central riverfront of Minneapolis at Owami Yomini or St. Anthony Falls. We are wanting to restore it to a place of beauty, restoration, healing, and belonging for everyone. We are about 65% design done. We're working to start breaking ground next year in the springtime, and we hope to have the land transferred to us from the Army Corps of Engineers by the end of next year. So we have a lot of work to do, but we're also really excited to have Dana with us. She is not only a board member, but our vice chair of the board, and she was just honored by Twin Cities Business as the 2025 Notable Nonprofit board member. She does great work, and we're so very proud of her and honored to have her as part of our group.
Wow, congratulations. I did see that. I got cross-handed there. Dana, I was hitting the applause button here and then trying to switch out, but I'll do it again. I always want to use that button. So it's awesome. Talk a little bit about that award and the significance speaks for itself.
Well, I have been very passionate about the waterfront for a long, long time. I have a deep family history with regards to what I think of as the original highway of the Dakota Territory, which is how tribes traveled for a long, long time. And I was approached to join this board, and I have a long history of revitalizing and indigenizing the area down that is called Ouaumne. And so it felt like a perfect fit for me. And then I found out that Shelley was joining on, and I was absolutely thrilled and have just been, looking forward to every single meeting. And there have been a lot of meetings. It's a very active board. And, I used to be an executive director of another Native nonprofit, and I know how hard it is. I know how many challenges there are. And so I just love supporting Shelley. I love making sure that she feels seen and checking in and making sure that she has everything that she needs to succeed. Because there can be a lot of barriers, especially right now. So I'm just very, very excited about the cultural revitalization of the area, indigenizing and lifting up Native voices. And I'm really passionate about wellness and food, as you guys probably know. So it's just an honor of a lifetime to be able to be part of something so, so meaningful.
Well, and I know you're very humble about this, but you helped start an award-winning restaurant down there that we all like to go to. And kudos to you for all that great work, all those years, from food truck to great stand-up restaurant there off the river.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm so proud of what I and the team built.
Yeah, definitely. Shelley, so what else here? I mean, you got a great board going on here. I know we talk to your people a lot once a month or at least about the great stuff that's happening there. And then you also have my old friend Barry Hand working with you, so I know things can get exciting too with Barry. So, to put it nicely, but all the knowledge that comes with your organization is amazing for me to watch from a distance here.
Yeah, definitely. We've been able to do a lot of things with the team we have. We have Barry and Kami who are in our program department. We also have our Dakota Knowledge Keepers who are part of the design team. We have our tribal working group, which are representatives that are appointed by the four Dakota tribes here in the state that we can meet with on a regular basis. And then we also have our program committee to help figure out what kind of things we're going to do. And actually that's where we got the idea for the Lifeways videos, because we don't have a current space where we can do these videos at or these classes and bring people in and teach them some of the traditional ways of doing things. We started going to some of our team's houses and using their kitchens. We've used my kitchen once, Sage's kitchen, Amanda's kitchen, and we do these Lifeways videos. And we thought, well, not only is this a good way to start our programming now until we get a space, but it's also a way to reach those who aren't in the area, who may be out of state or in a state where their people are not. So we thought, this is a good way to do it, and we can reach more people. And we've been excited and pleased with the responses to it. And we are excited. We are going to be getting an engagement space where we'll be able to have a kitchen and do different things and really expand our programs on the site right across the street from our 5.2 acres. So we're excited about the future for Ouaumne Ohmniokodayapi.
Well, and also I noticed that you didn't mention Barry's Kitchen, but that's fine.
no, but, he won't let us come to his kitchen, apparently.
Yeah. He's too busy killing those squirrels out there and sending me pictures of it.
Yes, for sure.
And you must be on that thread, too. But that's totally exciting. Can you give our listeners out there how they can find these videos and where they can find them and your website, too? And really, we got another minute here, and I'd love to. That would be the call to action for this first segment. And then after that, we really want to get into what's ahead with your nonprofit.
Yeah, definitely. You can go to our website, owamineomine.org. The videos are on there. You can also go to our YouTube channel, Owamineomine Okodayapi. You'll find the videos there as well. And they're also on our social media, Facebook and Instagram. So you can look for those there as well.
You know what I really like about the videos, being a former film and video teacher myself, is the length of them are really, I think, perfect. Keep them short for somebody like me that's like, squirrel, those kind of things. But I like that. Hey, this is great. We're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Shelly Buck and Dana Thompson, and we're rocking and rolling. We'll be right back. And later on, Ruth Anna Buffalo. Ho-wa.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by hobby artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting two open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio. Hey, we're with Shelly Buck, president of Owami Mini, and Dana Thompson, we are talking about the great work that's happening here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and it's really exciting to hear this. Shelly, the group really hasn't been around that long, but I see so much traction happening. It's really exciting to see this.
Yeah, the organization itself has been in existence since 2016, so almost 10 years. It started out as, St. Anthony Falls Lock and Dam Conservancy. Mm-hmm. Then it went to Friends of the Lock and Dam, then Friends of the Falls. And then when I came on, we became a Dakota-led organization. And we thought if our mission's Dakota-led and our organization's Dakota-led, then why isn't our name Dakota? So we changed our name to Awamni Yomni Okoda Yapi, which virtually means Friends of the Falls in Dakota. And it's really a cool story to see the transition of this organization from when it first was created and its mission then to where we are today. And we're really proud of that. And I think the board members that we have, like Dana and some of our non-Native board members, are just absolutely amazing. Some of the best people I've met in my life, and I'm so happy to have their support on this project. And it's just going to mean so much to Dakota people. I know when I was a tribal leader, so many times I just felt like we were forgotten or erased from our homelands here in the Twin Cities. And to be able to bring not only the Dakota stories back to sacred sites, but also the Dakota language with our audio tour signs we have up. There's 8 of them now. You know, you're actually hearing Dakota spoken on the site again. And it's just, it's so amazing to be able to bring our people home and help them feel welcome. And I hope once this project's complete and with our new engagement space we'll be having, I really hope to welcome all Dakota people home and have them feel welcome and seen again.
That's some powerful words. I want to ask you too, across from where you are too, there's also a sacred island. That's, is it still there, or is it we have to repurpose it, or?
Well, it depends on what island. There's Witawanahi, or Spirit Island. It is no longer there. They totally destroyed her to build a city around her. But we still have Nicolet Island, which is also a sacred island of ours. But yeah, we are working. It'll be a phase 2 or 3 project for Spirit Island, but we do want to honor her in some way, shape, or form, whether that means we physically and literally build her back up, or we somehow do something else to honor her there at the site.
Wow, good words. Dana, how do you fit in this? This is exciting news, and what do you do? Do you like seek out funding? Tell me a little bit about what you do as vice chair.
Well, I support the chair of the board, and I support Shelley and everyone else. And I think of myself as someone with a lot of soft leadership, so I can make suggestions based on my own experience. Every chance I get to sort of frame it through a more Indigenous lens, I try to do that, because we do have some non-Native board members. And it doesn't come up a ton, but when it does, there's a really easy way to just soften it and make suggestions. Right now, we are working on a campaign to kind of fill the gap for some of the funding that we need to do this extraordinarily huge project. I mean, it's some prime real estate, and we want to do it right. We want to make it a place where it's back as close to the original land as possible, and also that it's usable for everyone. Right now, there's nowhere to really engage with the river, and that's pretty tragic because it's a powerful thing. I mean, Awamni means laughing waters. It's all about the beautiful waterfalls that were there for so long. And there's a lot of story to tell. There's a lot of other Indigenous stories to tell as well. And so I try to weave that in when I can, but our team is extraordinary. And you had mentioned Barry Hand. He's got a head full of stories. Like, he can go and go. So we have a lot of fun together, and you know, it's lightness and humor and fun, and I try to infuse that into my board role.
Well, I know Barry always introduces me to new people and says he's Ho-Chunk, and did you know they eat people? And I know exactly what Barry Hand's up to there. Well, it's exciting. Shelley, can we, once we finish this project, I know this is a big a big lift, can we do something about Bidote down there? I have a boat on the river, and when I drive that by that island, it's a lot of times sad for me.
Yeah, It definitely is sad. And I'm a big dreamer. I like to dream big. I have big plans, and I want to take over the world. So I would love to see more sacred sites along the river from Ouaminiamini down to Wakantipi, just really done in the right way, in a Dakota way, with Dakota knowledge keepers, Dakota people at the center of the project from start to finish, not just a little meeting here or there and they get a little stipend. We want to actually have Dakota people in the process from start to finish, the heart of it, and getting paid market rate like any other consultant would. So that's my goal. Obviously there's no plans right now to move any further than this site that we're at, but yeah, I like to dream big. So I wouldn't be surprised.
That's great news, really. Can one of you speak on the term land back? And I know there's a misunderstanding about it, but also there really is a land back. I know just recently there was some land donated to me, and we're going to put out a sweat out in White Bear Township. So there is real land back, but it's also a way of thinking too, not just the physical land mm-hmm. back.
Yeah, with our site and our project, I like to say land rematriation or land reclamation. So many times when people hear the word or the term land back, it's a negative thought that they have. And honestly, to be true land back, you have to give it back to the original stewards of the land. Giving it back to just someone else doesn't mean it's true land back. It's just a land transaction at that point. So mm-hmm. I just like to use land reclamation or land rematriation, because what's at the heart of it is the ability to be able to take care of the land and do our ceremonies and be one with the land again, like we did in our traditional ways.
Yeah, Dana, I think too that there's that land back that's happening just last 5-10 years. I really feel like, and then also we're taking control of our own verbiage here. When people want to do a land recognition, that's not for us. We know who's from this land.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that just echoing what Shelley said, thinking about it with eyes on the future, what's going to be best for our children and our grandchildren, our great grandchildren, is the way to think about it. You know, I mean, nobody wants the world to burn down. So thinking through an Indigenous lens is better for everyone in the long run. And I think when people start to understand that, it excites them and makes them feel happy, because it makes them feel connected to the land, the plants, the animals, everything around us, which mm-hmm. is a healing mechanism for mental health.
Absolutely. Hey, Shelley, we only got a few minutes left here. I wonder if you could just give out a call to action is how people out there in Radio Land can come and see what you're doing. And mm-hmm. So give us the website and the Facebooks and everything else to our listeners.
Yes, definitely. It's Ouaminiamini, Ouaminiamini.org. Our socials, let's see, Facebook is Ouaminiamini Okodayapi. And then our Instagram, I believe, is just Ouaminiamini. It may be Ouaminiamini Okodayapi. Not 100% sure on that, which is sad to say. But yeah, go to those. You can sign up for our newsletter from our website. Keep updated on that. And hopefully before too terribly long, we'll be having some volunteer opportunities. So if someone wants to volunteer, keep an eye out on the Facebook or the website, the Facebook, the Instagram, and our newsletter for when those become available sometime probably next year.
Wow, that's great. Dana, you got the last word before we let you guys go. And maybe you can talk about it a little bit. What was going on backstage at that concert? No, just kidding.
Next time, we'll have a music session. I can come on the show with Keith. The last word is that we're doing some pretty exciting stuff, and I think the community.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. It's phase one of a U.S.-backed Gaza ceasefire deal in Tel Aviv.
It's such a good feeling, and I really hope it will happen.
So far, the Israeli cabinet has approved the framework for bringing all of the remaining hostages home. And CBS's Deborah Patta in East Jerusalem says then comes the release of 250 Palestinian prisoners serving life sentences and 1,700 more arrested since October 2023.
In Gaza, the ceasefire was greeted with jubilation. The past 734 days have been an endless stream of loss, displacement, and war.
The U.S. is sending some support to Israel. CBS's Linda Kenyon with that.
Some 200 troops are being deployed to Israel to help support and monitor the Gaza ceasefire deal. These U.S. troops will be part of a multinational team that will also include non-governmental organizations and the private sector.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Now, hear all news all morning, weekdays from 6 until 9, from 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Concern about injured Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Matt LaFleur was asked why the team's place kicker, Brandon McManus, has been added to the injury list.
Brandon McManus listed on the injury report. I'm assuming it's from those tackles that he had to make in the game.
It is not from the tackles, no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a major concern right now, so we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow, and you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
I asked McManus what happened to him and the injury to his kicking leg.
I was kicking, warming up. I had kickoffs earlier in the day, and then I was warming up for field goals. I kind of felt a tug against my quad. I gave it a couple minutes, tried again. Yeah, I just shut it down for the day. Yeah, I didn't want to make it worse.
Baseball, Brewers against the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. If Milwaukee wins, they advance to the National League Championship next week. If they lose, it's Game 5 in Milwaukee this coming Saturday with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Hey, join me, Dan Haney, weekday mornings for all news all morning from 6 until 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. One battle after another seems to be the movie with the most early Oscar buzz. According to Variety, the critic's darling and really fun movie start to finish is on track to potentially receive as many as 14 Academy Award nods. If it happens, it would tie the record for the most all time held by Titanic, All About Eve, and La La Land. Six of those nominations could come in the acting category. Five of the potential acting nominees are well-seasoned, if not previous winners. But the big story is breakout star of the film, Chase Infinity, who could draw a Best Actress nod. Her two female co-stars, Regina Hall and Tiana Taylor, are favorites to draw nominations in the Best Supporting Actress category. Leonardo DiCaprio is expected to be nominated for Best Actor, with co-stars Sean Penn and Benicio Del Toro possibly receiving Best Supporting Actor nominations. That would give the film six nominations for acting, which is unprecedented. If you haven't seen this movie, I highly recommend it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, increasing clouds and lows in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, some clouds and showers in the morning, then maybe a little sun in the afternoon. A touch breezy with highs in the mid-60s. And highs stay in the mid-60s for the weekend, but mostly sunny. It's 55 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk about the new Civic Media sports show, Make the Call, with Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr is in the house. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo. It was great to see you in person, Ruth Anna, today. Thank you so much for being on, and I appreciate your flexibility of being on when we need you, and I really, really want to say I appreciate that to our listening audience, so they're my witness. Ho-wa. Great to see.
Yeah,
great to see you. You were running around doing your meeting thing there, and it was great to see you today. I was at the gatherings having a fish sandwich, which was a delicious. Welcome.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. Dosha. Hello, and Madzigadads. Thank you for having MIWRC on.
Yes, definitely. And, I just happened to Google what's going on in the Twin Cities native-wise, and it came up what you guys are doing. It's really cool that you're making a lot of noise here, with some good stuff, and especially with what's going on upstairs there and how that's transforming things to really 24-hour service to our relatives that really need it.
Yeah, thank you. Definitely thankful to be able to help serve the community. Still so much more work that needs to be done, but we are, just trying to do the best we can with what we have in front of us, and definitely an opportunity to continue building, but learning so much about the housing process, and really commend those that have been here in the community and who have been working on housing issues for decades. It's definitely admirable because it's so much, and learning these housing systems and the ins and outs and of, like, say, for example, Fair Housing Act or Fair Housing Law, so it's definitely been a good learning experience for sure.
Yeah, and there's a nice article in the Circle about this, and it's really nice to amplify things that are going well in our community, because we have so many struggles at times, and so it's really great to hear what Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is doing through you and with you and with all the great workers you have. It's just I enjoy, we know each other from your past life as a politician, but I really am excited and enjoy talking about this because of the great work you guys are doing here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota.
Yeah, thank you for sure. It's been quite the journey, and there's so much more to do. And like you mentioned, there's just a really good, great team here, and we appreciate all of the partnerships with the community. Whether it's formal, informal, we appreciate, like, the WEX workers, and that's a partnership with the Mille Lacs band. Mm-hmm. We have a partnership with Red Lakes Minnow Bee Clinic, looking to expand, and we have the mobile medical unit from the City of Minneapolis Health Department here every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Just so many good things happening, and it's really true. And it's a really good point to shine light on a lot of the good things that are happening. And then I stopped in at Powell Grounds today after a meeting at the Indian Center. And they have really good iced coffee over there. I had a chocolate, usually it's iced chocolate. I usually get a raspberry white mocha iced, but they were out of raspberry there. And so I had a chocolate strawberry iced coffee, and it was really good. But on the way out, I saw a lot of beautiful flowers. So I picked some up for our staff, and they're from the lady. It's a partnership with the elders group. They had a table up, that they were shutting down, and they had some really vibrant, beautiful flowers. So that's one of them, but I was able to get three of them. But it's from the lady that has a house on the corner there by the elders' apartments.
Is that Diana Grooms?
Might
Diana
be.
Diana Grooms. Yeah, I saw that today, too. Also, nice. With your coffee intake, we could probably do 2 hours of the show, right?
I know. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, we were here last night, like 8 o'clock, and I found an iced coffee hall can in my fridge back there. So I was really, but, you know, just drinking some coffee, but it was starting to get dark. So staff decided it was a good idea to leave the building at that time to get up again today.
Well, what I enjoy, too, is amplifying, before we get into that, amplifying the great work that you, your organization does. And I want you to get out there, the website and how people can donate before. Because, you know, I have some timers. Sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget. So I want to get that out there before we move on.
Yes, for sure. I'm looking at a schedule up there. MIWRC, our website is miwrc.org. I was just looking at our schedule there. We have trying to keep track of all the different things happening in the building, and it's a good thing. We have Indigenous People's Task Force, their youth programming is on site about 3 times a week. And so also wanting to make sure everybody's safe and feels safe and protected in the community here. But yes, miwrc.org is our website. And we're thankful for everybody's continued support. MIWRC has been a pillar in the community, and it's been, a huge responsibility and task and huge delight to help move things forward for MIWRC and continue the good work of previous leaders and generations, and definitely take this responsibility very serious. But yeah, we have lots of programming going on, and it's pretty busy here, and we're thankful for the community's support, and there'll be a lot of training and updates coming. And so, there's lots of things in the works.
Yeah, that's maybe we can talk about that next segment. But one of the questions I wanted to bring up, too, is that so we're going to have Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday. And are you guys going to get your float in the parade again here, or is there going to be a comeback for that, or are we just doing a march without floats?
In May, right?
No. It's Indigenous Peoples Day Monday, the 13th.
Is there a parade then too?
I think so.
Oh really? Oh my gosh! Dang, we totally missed that one. Unless we can get in, but. Yeah, it's so crazy. Like last night, I was like, had that feeling of like, we got to start preparing for the float and the parade. But I was like, it's not till May. But wow, I'll have to look into that and see if.
Yeah, look into that. I might be sending out to 200,000 listeners the wrong information. So yeah, look into that for me. But I know it's Indigenous. I know it's Indigenous People Days on the 13th, and there's a lot happening on the avenue, and I know there's a powwow at the Indian Center, and so there's a lot of fun things happening.
Yeah, for sure. Like I heard people talking about the powwow today and the sunrise ceremony Monday. And this weekend is lots of basketball activity in St. Paul with the Indigenous Family Weekend festivities, and they have a MMIR basketball game and awards. So yeah, it's a good time to raise awareness on MMIR, missing and murdered Indigenous relatives, and unfortunately our Native women continue to be targets, especially for predators, especially our unsheltered Native women and children. So it's definitely something that we continue to pay attention to, and raising awareness for sure, and prevention is important. But being located here in the East Phillips neighborhood in Ventura Village, we know that unfortunately there are a lot of bad actors and predators in the area, and we know the community is continuing to take action and work together to protect the community.
Yeah, definitely. And your organization definitely does that. And we're going to be heading up where it's going to be getting cold again. And I know you and other organizations really reach out to our unsheltered relatives that sometimes, you know, people are one paycheck away from being unsheltered. So it's really important. And again, I want to bring up, too, that your organization's been around 40, and this is a 41st season. And that's just amazing in just for that, is that you've been around that long.
Yeah, really. I mean, I'm super thankful for our founding members of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. You know, they came together way back when, 40 years ago, like you mentioned, to think ahead, you know, seven generations ahead for, you know, the health and safety and well-being of our American Indian women and families. And we know within our tribal communities that Native women have always been held in high regard, and we are just thankful to still help any way we can to keep the people, you know, keep everybody safe and protected, mm-hmm. and get to a place where we're thriving instead of just surviving. And we look forward to the day when we have everyone, you know, free from addiction and are living in abundance and in our cult, in our language, in our traditional ways and values, and where there will be no more unsheltered. Everybody will have their own homes and be growing gardens and singing songs. And, you know, we just look forward to that day when that happens, because it will happen.
I really like that the way you feel about that. That's really part of leadership, is to lead us in a good way. I'd really like to talk to you a little bit about, you know, we do talk about this in fun and jest, but really how you take care of yourself and your family, and to stay on an even keel, and the good things that you do to protect your soul, because it can be a very sad situation at times, but also keeping it positive like you do. I'd like to talk a little bit about that in the next segment, if you don't mind. Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of a Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
The Minneapolis Police Department is hiring, and we're looking for people ready to lead, serve, and reflect the communities we protect.
Whether you're a new graduate, changing careers, or already in law enforcement, there's a path for you to join our department.
With top-tier pay, full benefits, paid training, and a direct path to making a difference, this is more than a job. This is your chance to shape the future of Minneapolis Police.
Choose service. Choose leadership. Choose Minneapolis. Visit our city website to learn more.
All My Relations Arts presents Matrilineal Memory by Hopi artist Michaela Schaefer. This powerful exhibition blends painting, poetry, and installations, inviting reflections on memory, culture, and healing. Join us for the opening reception Thursday, October 16th, 6 to 8 p.m. at All My Relations Arts on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Matrilineal Memory runs October 16th through December 13th. Experience the unveiling of an exhibition that speaks to the heart. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org.
Across Native communities, voting is a tradition that brings generations together. Make Voting a Tradition, or MVAT, helps families and neighbors learn about elections, including ranked choice voting on November 4th in Minneapolis and St. Paul. With ranked choice voting, you can rank up to 3 candidates, giving everyone a stronger voice. Through trusted relationships, MVAT helps neighbors and families get involved in shaping the future of their communities. Vote together. Stand together. Learn more at makevotingatradition.org.
Ever wonder how far you could go with a bachelor's or master's degree? Metro State University is hosting 2 open house events in October. Learn about their bachelor's degree programs on October 20th. Explore master's degrees and doctoral degrees on October 23rd. At the open house, you can attend a session about financial aid and receive help from financial aid staff. Discover how Metro State can help you take the next step in your career. Sign up today at metrostate.edu/openhouse. You belong at Metro.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And welcome, Ruth. And I know we talk a lot of the great things that you guys do, but it also can be taxing. And what do you and your family do to really protect your soul? I know you do a lot of fun things together, whether it's go see the Lynx play basketball or play basketball yourself. I know your son's a baseball player, and you know, those things really do matter to keep things in perspective.
Yes, for sure. Just trying to get outside any chance I get. You know, sometimes I get sucked into the computer or the office and don't really get outside unless there's a fire alarm, you know. I'm just kidding. I'm like, oh my gosh, the sun feels amazing, you know. But I think just maintaining communication with friends and family. My mom was out here last week, and it was really beautiful to see the staff and everybody sing her happy birthday and surprised her with a cake. It was during last Friday, the fall market. So any time you can spend with family, the fur babies, our babies, of course, and watching the kids, you know, do what they love. I think just being outside, but just even being in the comfort of our home, you know, and being with family is really, really important. And that's kind of what keeps me rejuvenated. I'm supposed to be going to a couple different places this weekend. Got invited to go out of the country, but and then also to another place for some healing and retreat work, inner work. But I may have to just sit these ones out and stay home and rest, you know, be with family.
Yeah, and that sometimes is you have to plug in again. And I don't know why I always think this, because you're fairly tall and you played basketball. I always bring that up, but are you still playing a little basketball here, keeping things going, or have you been too busy?
Too busy. I mean, I'll play horse with the family every now and then. my dad was in town this past summer, so he was out there in his cowboy boots playing horse and 21 with the kids. But I'll do 21 every now and then. Our dog, our Boston Terrier, really likes to try to go after basketballs, so it's actually helping the kids get quicker and more skilled with their ball handling. But
what about the Chihuahua?
He's doing good. We put a little sweater vest on him today, a little thermal Native design vest on him today.
Well, we had two Chihuahuas. I don't know if you remember this, but years ago we had two Chihuahuas, and one of them, we wouldn't let me move in our bed, and we had to he bit me in the head once, and the other one was just such a lover, and it was really the personalities were way different, but we miss our Chihuahuas for sure. Oh wow.
Yeah, they're lovely to have. I know, it's my husband jokes and says the cat and the dogs are like a trifecta around me, because if I'm on the couch they were the same way with my dad when he was here, but visiting, and then in the bed, yeah, we let them sleep with us. So one's by my hip, one's down by my feet, and then one's over here, you know, the cat. So
I know, yeah. It's great. I mean, really, whenever I see somebody's animal passing or whatever, I always comment and say family and put a heart, because really, yeah, they're not only our relatives, they are our part of our family. And wow, I'm getting teary-eyed on this. Really, they are.
Yeah, it's so true. They are. I mean, they always try to jump in the car with me when I'm leaving. And the Chihuahua, he'll kind of prance around like he's the escort, you know, like he's leading the way and I'm following behind him. But strutting, leading the way. So yeah, I follow.
I know that. It's funny too. We had a Chihuahua, Mickey, and we couldn't let the other Chihuahua go without a leash, but Mickey we could, and we'd say, hey, come back here, and he'd come back here, and he kind of walked around like he was really proud that we let him off the leash. It was really, really quite funny. I don't think we were hallucinating. I think he really was proud and kind of sticking his tongue out at his brother.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. It's beautiful, because like sometimes we'll be feeling like realizing like, oh my gosh, we're not really saying anything to each other, or you know, just the communication. And then we're like, oh my gosh, it'd be so cool to hear what our dogs and cats are thinking or saying. So we'll have fun narrating at times of like what we think they're saying.
Well, soon enough, I think we can get assistance from ChatGTP or something to find out what these dogs really are saying.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, for sure. Because like sometimes my husband and son would joke and say, even when our kids were younger, like, I think Jordan's really side-eyeing me. He's side-eyeing me. We're like, no, he's not. You know?
That's hilarious. Well, and then, you know, we have grandkids now, and the girl Summer, she definitely side eyes me every time she comes over here, which is really funny. The boy's happy to see me, but the girl kind of side eyes me like, are you going to take good care of me this time? Are you not going to throw me around accidentally, right? It's like, oh, hope my daughter isn't listening today. But yeah, and that's the whole relationship that we talk about as being native too. I mean, this just fits in that, you know, Father Sky, Mother Earth, and all the creatures that are our relatives really truly are our relatives.
Yes, 100%. I remember growing up hearing stories of long ago and just different things about the animals back home, whether it was the deer or bears. But yeah, beautiful stories that for sure provide a deeper understanding of the connections and just the beautifulness in it all.
Well, I like, you know what I like is, you know, you see some old pictures from, you know, a long time ago, and people are, natives are in front of a teepee, and then on the right you see some ratty old dog, but they're like part of the family and they're in the picture, you know, from way back.
Yeah. Even like pictures of the ancestors back then, or the relatives holding foxes, or, you know, like just different dogs, you know, but that's pretty cool.
I know it is. And we feed the animals back here. So we have raccoons, possums, and I mean, we're inner city. We're in between St. Kate's and St. Thomas. We're right by the river. So chipmunks, the squirrels, the raccoons, and then the birds come too. And it's just really, 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 really cool, you know, to be kind of part of that and knowing that we are part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree 100%. And this time of year is so beautiful outside. Like yesterday, I got to drive up to St. Cloud for a meeting, and just seeing the different color leaves and the water, and it was nice to kind of get out of the city for a little bit. But yeah, for sure, it's there was a coyote spotted near our neighborhood, not far from us, and it was in one of the Facebook neighborhood pages. But there was video of a coyote that was resting in a softball field, and husband at first said, no, that's not real, because we saw another one before where it was just a kind of like to keep rodents or keep things out of the field. Mm-hmm. But this one was real yesterday. Coyote, not far from us.
Well, Ruth, we only got like 30 seconds left. Can you give out the website again? People can find out more and donate to your great organization.
Yes. Find more information on Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center at miwrc.org.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the fun talk here about our relatives. That was fun. So, hey, thank you. Have a great night. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa. If you're listening to
Real News, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, you've heard the voice. First and 10 Wisconsin and Ron Dayne. Now meet the man behind the voice, Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer, in studio with us next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. New York Attorney General Letitia James, who won a civil fraud case against President Trump, is indicted in Virginia on charges of bank fraud and making false statements to a financial institution. CBS News legal contributor Rebecca Royfe.
There will be motions, as there will be in the James Comey case, I'm sure, suggesting that it's selective prosecution, that she's being targeted because of her political views.
A U.S. brokered ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas progresses, with Hamas agreeing to release all 48 hostages. Ruby Chen's 19-year-old Israeli-American son Itai is one of them.
On one hand, excitement because we see the finish line, anticipation, but also anxiety.
A federal judge rules there is no credible evidence of an organized rebellion in Illinois and temporarily blocks deployment of National Guard troops. Attorney General Kwame Roll.
This is an important decision not just for the state of Illinois, but for the entire country.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.